Good morning. I am Brad Elgin, one of the FBC Go workers, currently living in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I work there with my wife, Debbie, and our service dog, Willie Nelson, and it's great to be with you this morning. I'm so glad that you've taken a few moments to join us here. I hope you're sitting comfortably on your couch with your Christmas pajamas. The rush is over, and I'm so glad that you've taken a few moments to worship with us, to hang out, and to listen to the Word of God with us. I think God is going to do some wonderful things in the next few moments. One of the reasons that I'm so excited that you're here is I have really, really good news for you. Exciting news. There are only 4 days left in 2020. Woo-ha! 4 days. And we can take 2020 and this weird year and close the books and open up another year in 2021. Like you, I started 2020 with some normal hopes, some things I was expecting to happen in 2020, and yet things, circumstances interrupted it, and it didn't go like I had hoped that it would go, and I'm optimistic about 2021. I have normal hopes for 2021 as well, and I'm optimistic that they're going to go well, but there's no guarantee of any of that. There's always the possibility that circumstances that we can't foresee will enter into our lives and enter into our world, and those hopes may not be realized. But I also started 2020 with eternal hopes, a hope in Jesus that no circumstance can disrupt. And as we begin 2021, I start this year not only with some normal hopes, but with an eternal hope. Today, we continue our series in hope, and today I'm talking about the eternal hope that we can experience every day, every week. There's a sense, as believers in Jesus Christ, our hope is in a new heaven and a new earth. Our hope is to be away from the body and to be present with the Lord in heaven, where everything will be perfect. And until then, God wants us to have hope in every day and every week that we can experience some of that hope. Where we are. And today we're going to look at hope through the eyes of Simeon, a man who shows up at the end of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. Before we read the scriptures, would you pray with me? God, in the next few moments, I ask that you would open our ears that we might hear your voice. Open our eyes, God, that we might see your truth. And God, we pray this morning that you would give us courage to be obedient to that which we see and that which we hear. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. In this passage, I want to make four observations about the hope that Simeon had. And these four observations tell us how we can experience eternal hope right now where we are. And my first observation is eternal hope is experienced in the forgiveness that is offered by Jesus. We read that Simeon was a righteous man. But Simeon was just like us. He wasn't perfect. The Bible is so clear that nobody's perfect, which is why I love the FBC tagline, everybody is welcome, because nobody's perfect. In the New Testament, we read that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, we read, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Simeon was a sinner. But God is holy and perfect. So how in the world can Simeon be called righteous when he's a sinner serving a holy God? And the answer is because we read he was looking for the consolation of Israel. Simeon believed that God was going to send a Savior, a Messiah, a Christ, because it said he was looking for the consolation of Israel. And we come into this right relationship with God when we believe that Jesus has died in our place and for our sins. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, we read, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. When we confess with Jesus with our mouth and believe in our heart that he died in our place, we come into a relationship with Jesus. And this is a relationship that no circumstance ever can take away from us. Two chapters earlier in the book of Romans, we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depths nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal hope because we've been forgiven. And this is a huge deal to know that we are forgiven and all of our shame is discharged, that we don't carry any of that. One of the things that we know is that everyone knows down deep in their bones that they are not perfect. And this causes us to feel shame, and this keeps us from being together with other people. But we know that Jesus has died in our place for our sins, that we stand before God totally right. We're free. We feel joy. I'm now free because now I don't have to hide from other people. I can be who I am. I can be free because I don't have to pretend things are better than I am. And this is the eternal hope that we can experience every day, that we experience the joy and the freedom from being forgiven. We also read that Simeon was not only righteous, but he was devout. Devout has the idea that Simeon was a man of obligations. He felt an obligation to God and an obligation to other people. And I want to suggest that eternal hope is experienced in obligations fulfilled. When you make other obligations to other people and you fulfill those, you feel this eternal hope. Now, this may sound odd. Most of us dream of a day when we have no obligations, when we can live free of them all. But yet the truth is, when we are in relationship with other people, it's hard. Relationships are difficult. And what keeps relationships together are promises that we make to each other. And it's this obligation that we have. And when they're fulfilled, there's this sense of joy and this sense of freedom. I want to suggest that in the year 2021, it would be a marvelous time for you to renew some of the obligations you have made to other people. And I want to suggest two obligations that you should renew so that you can feel this eternal hope right now where you are. First of all, if you're married, this is a great year for you to renew your vows with your spouse. Some people think you do it after 15 years or 25 or 50, but there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to wait that long. And after the year that we've just had, this would be a marvelous time for husbands to sit down and make promises to their wives, and wives to sit down and write out promises to their husbands. My suggestion is all of you who are married, take some time this year and write down vows to one another. My suggestion is that you invite some friends over, maybe a pastor from the church that come, and you make a big deal renewing your promises and your obligations to one another. Some of you today may be thinking, I don't really do the whole ceremony thing. That sounds too much for me. So write down your promises and take a walk together. Or if restaurants are open, go to a nice restaurant and read your promises to one another. Print them on a fancy piece of paper and hang them on the wall. Because sometimes marriage gets hard. And it's these obligations that keep us together. And it's in this obligation that we feel this eternal hope because we're doing what we promised to do. Some of you who are listening today may not feel like you're in a place with your spouse where you want to make promises, because marriage gets hard sometimes. And to you, I would suggest, call a pastor at the church. Make 2021 a year when you decide that you're going to take your marriage and make it better. See a counselor. Call a pastor. Don't give up. The second thing I want to suggest is that you renew your obligation to the church family. If you come to Foothills Bible Church and this is your home, God wants you to be involved. And he commands us to be devoted to one another, that we would feel this obligation. And Foothills Bible Church is asking people who come here regularly to be committed in three different ways. To the Word and to worship on Sunday morning like we're doing right now. And sometimes this gets hard. Sometimes being socially distanced, sometimes doing this thing virtually, it's easy to say, I just don't really do that. And this is where the promise becomes helpful, because sometimes you keep the obligation even when things aren't exactly the way you want them to be. You do it anyway, and you experience the blessing of God. Renew your obligation to worship and to the Word. Second, renew your obligation to your small group, to the G2 that you're involved in. Foothills Bible Church, our desire is that all of you be involved in a G2, to be with a group of people who know you, who pray for you, who are committed to you. And my suggestion is after the new year, when the G2 gets together, all of you would go around and make a commitment to be there for each other, to pray for each other, and to help each other. And if you're listening this morning and you are not part of a G2, what a great year to get involved. What a great year to go to the website and click on the link or call the church office and become involved with other people. And finally, as you think about your commitment to the church, it's not only worship and the Word, but it's also, and not only a commitment to a small group, but it's a commitment to serve and to share. Sometimes it's not comfortable to serve or to share, but when you do, you fulfill an obligation and you feel the eternal hope that God wants you to feel. The last couple months, I have been very moved by the Spread the Smiles campaign. And I'll be honest with you, when Brooke got her car, I couldn't quit crying. When I saw that Brian got the dog, my heart was touched in deep ways. And last week, when I saw Lena and the opportunity for her to get new teeth, I'm so deeply moved by that. But I'm moved by that not only as an observer, but as a participant. Because I share my treasure with Foothills Bible Church. When they bless her, I'm part of the blessing. I couldn't be in the room. I don't know her. I won't meet her till we get to heaven, but I was part of the solution. Every time Foothills Bible Church has a victory, I share in that victory because I share my life and my treasures with Foothills Bible Church. So this morning, I would suggest that you can experience this eternal hope that Christ wants us to experience. When you renew your commitment to the church, you renew your commitment to your spouse. And finally, I would suggest that you think about making a commitment or renewing your commitment to the neighborhood in which you live. The neighbors who are around you, the school that your kids go to. We have an obligation to people who don't know Jesus and to those who do, who are part of our community. And make a commitment to find a way to be involved in not only the church, but in our community. The third observation I make about Simeon's life is that eternal hope is experienced when we allow the Holy Spirit to direct our focus. One of the things that is interesting about the Bible is no matter how many times you've read it, no matter how familiar you are with it, you can always learn new things. And this year, I've learned something about the Christmas story. I've taught this story for years. I've been to Bible school, and I'm embarrassed to admit I've always thought Simeon had an official role at the temple. I always thought he was a priest or somehow involved in the ceremony that was about to take place. But as we read, it appears that's not true. He was just a guy hanging out at the temple. He hadn't seen a burning bush. He didn't see a chorus of angels. He didn't have a conversation with God. But he was led by the Spirit, and the Spirit directed his focus to Jesus. And the chances are, Jesus wasn't the only baby there that day, but Simeon's focus was led by the Holy Spirit. And as he was led by the Spirit, he saw what God wanted him to see. I do think that Simeon's revelation by the Holy Spirit was a special case. I don't expect to get such a special revelation from God as Simeon got. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, we read this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Every believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit that dwells in him. And we read here that the reason the Spirit is there is that we might understand the things that God is freely giving to us. What I want to suggest this morning is there's not only the Spirit of God, but there's also the Spirit of the world. As the Spirit of God wants us to see what God has given us, there's the Spirit of the world that is leading us away from God, because there's also the Spirit of the world. And I want to just give you a couple examples of where I think the Spirit of the world is leading us as opposed to where the Spirit of God is leading us. One example is the Spirit of the world wants me to think a certain way about my body. The Spirit of the world tells me that my body is not very good. It's old, it's wrinkled. My kids tell me it's decrepit. I've got age spots going on, and I've got a bald spot in the back of my head that does nothing but grow, and I don't like it. And the world tells me I am never going to be on the cover of Men's Health, which is disappointing to me. And I could look at what the world says about my body and be disappointed. But Psalm chapter 139, verse 14, we read, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it full well. The world wants me to look at my body and be disappointed, but God wants me to look at it and be amazed. Now, just for fun, let's think about our bodies for just a minute. The ear is amazing. If you can hear me right now, it's amazing. All I'm doing is talking, and all I'm doing when I talk is move and shape the air. This is collected by our outer ear, and it vibrates against three of the smallest bones in the body, the eardrum, the hammer, and the stirrup. These bones are so small, they fit inside of this pea. Can you imagine the smile on God's face when he said, watch this, I'm going to make the three smallest bones fit inside of there. These three bones butt up against the oval window. Now, this causes the mechanical energy to be translated into a hydraulic energy as it moves through this window. It moves fluid in the cochlea, a circular tube. And inside the cochlea, there are millions of little hairs called silica. And these little silicas translate this hydraulic energy into an electrical impulse. Nobody knows how that happens. This electrical impulse goes into your brain, you hear it, and then your brain gives it meaning. It's a miracle. Your eyes are just as incredible. Whatever you see, it's because there's an electromagnetic wave that's bouncing off of something, and then it's traveling to your eye at 186,000 miles a second. And it hits your cornea, where it's refracted or bent, passes through your pupil, hits a lens, it's bent again, hits the back of your eye, it runs into photoreceptors that translate the electromagnetic wave into an electrical impulse your brain can understand, and it sends it to your brain. But your brain sees it's not quite right. It's upside down, backwards, and it's grainy. And your brain knows that's not what you want to see. So your brain, without your permission, makes it go right side up, reverses the image, and fills in all the pixels so you get a clear image. That's how you see. It's amazing. And your heart, if your heart is beating today, it will beat approximately 100,000 times. It will pump 7,000 liters of blood through you. For those of you who aren't on the metric system, that's just under 2,000 gallons of blood every day. That's like if your car was completely empty and you filled it with gas, you would fill it every day 133 times. Your body is amazing. You live in a world that tells you it's not quite right. But the Word tells us you're fearfully and wonderfully made. The world tells us that it's dangerous out there and we should be afraid. And it is dangerous out there and we should take noted precautions. I wear a seatbelt when I drive, and right now when I go into a public place, I wear a mask. I try to be safe in a dangerous world, but God never wants us to be afraid. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10, we read, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand." Now, some of you may realize that those were the words on the screen, because I'm quoting out of the King James Bible, so you might say, why is he doing that? Some of you may say, Sean talked a lot about Isaiah 41:10 3 weeks ago. Why is Brad repeating what Sean has already taught us? And the reason, quite simply, is back in 1976, I was on an aircraft carrier in the South Pacific, and there'd been an axe laying in Korea, and we were on station. And it looked like we were going to go to war with Korea. There was no way to communicate with home or with anybody else, and it was frightening. And I remember being on the hangar deck of that aircraft carrier looking out at the water, and my friend Jim Zog came up to me. And he said, "You look like you're afraid." And I said, "I am afraid." And Jim handed me a card with Isaiah 41:10 on it, and he said, "Memorize this." And I took that card and I memorized it and I began to think of it, and I went from a cycle of fear to a cycle of hope. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. I want to suggest to you a 30-day challenge as we begin the new year. This isn't for the rest of your life. This isn't a New Year's resolution. It's a 30-day challenge. For the next 30 days, take 5 minutes every morning and meditate and memorize Psalm 139:14. And think about the fact that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and let the joy of God rush over you. Or take 5 minutes every day and meditate and memorize Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. As you meditate on the scriptures, God will change your focus, and you'll begin to experience the eternal hope that God wants you to experience. Final observation is that Simeon's focus was not only directed by the Holy Spirit, but his movement was. Eternal hope is experienced when we're led by the Holy Spirit. We read in verse 27, "And he came in the Spirit into the temple." Other translations said he was led by the Spirit into the temple. Some say he was moved by the Spirit into the temple. One of the things that we know is, as believers, we are led by the Spirit. 21 times in the scripture, it says we are led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. And if you are bold enough to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, you'll experience this eternal hope that God wants for us. Now, I want to say two things about being led by the Spirit. First of all, the Spirit will never lead you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. When the Spirit of God leads you, He will lead you in accordance with the truth He's already given you. The second thing I would suggest is that if the Holy Spirit leads you, it will probably feel weird and uncomfortable. Let me say that again. If the Holy Spirit is leading you, it will probably feel uncomfortable and weird. Perhaps not always. At the beginning of COVID, we felt the Spirit leading us to knock on the doors of our neighbors and to check on them. Now, this isn't the first time we've checked on our neighbors. We had driveway parties, and we've done different things to try to get to know our neighbors, but none of it ever really worked. And it just felt odd to knock on doors. And we didn't want to go empty-handed, so we took a case of toilet paper with us as we knocked on doors, which felt even stranger as we did this. And sure enough, we got some strange looks. There were barking dogs and kids saying, "Who's at the door?" I mean, it wasn't comfortable. And at the end of it, we're not real sure what happened. But since then, with two of our neighbors, we've gotten together with them almost every other Saturday night for dinner or for dessert. We've gotten to share the gospel with them. We have neighbors now that care about us, and we care about them. And it was because we were bold enough to do something that felt uncomfortable so we could experience this eternal hope that God wants us to experience. What's the Holy Spirit leading you to do this morning? Maybe it's write a thank you note. Maybe it's a thank you letter. Maybe he's asking you to call someone that you haven't talked to in a long time just to say hi. And it feels kind of awkward. But if the Spirit is leading you, do it. You won't regret it. Maybe the Spirit today is prompting you to give a Christmas gift to somebody. And you're saying, "Oh, Brad, Christmas is over." Trust me, people are always happy to get a Christmas present, even after Christmas. So if God brings somebody to mind and a special present, do it. Follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The eternal hope that we have in Jesus is something that God wants us to feel all the time. And we can feel that when we reflect on the fact that we're forgiven and our shame is covered. We can experience that when we keep our obligations and we renew our obligations. We can experience that when we allow the Holy Spirit to direct our focus. And we can experience that when we allow ourselves to be directed and led by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the eternal hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you, God, that you want to direct our focus and our movements. Thank you, God, that you're involved in our lives. And thank you, God, that we approach 2021 with an optimism and a hope that cannot be interrupted by circumstances. God, we thank you for all your goodness to us. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, amen.